Blog Talk Radio. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was the voice of Herman Cain singing a variation of Imagine. He put a little pizza twist on it. You're now listening to the voice of David Graham, filling in for Doc Jones on the Situation Report. This is where you are right now, and I thank you for that, because there's plenty of other places you could be. And I appreciate you coming in right now. I got Beach Bomb, got Tesla, 2020's in the house. We're about to rock it right now. Because all we are saying is give pizza a chance. I saw that today, and I thought it was pretty funny. So, here we are on the Situation Report. Doc asked me to fill in. I'm doing a sit and fill in here. I don't know about what he had for a show going up. I'll read his show notes, and then I'm just going to go off and do something else. The United States, faced with its worst crisis in 65 years, has at the helm a radical political class, as personified by Barack Obama, who have chosen a path trod by so many despots in mankind's recent history. Barack Obama and his fellow travelers are exploiting the fear and desperation of a growing number of citizens amid gaping fissures in American society in order to retain and expand their control over the populace. Human societies are held together by the most fragile of cords. Whenever unrelenting internal or external challenges abound, thereby placing excessive stress on the foundation of any society, the key determination as to whether chaos ensues is most often in the hands of the society's leaders. They can choose to exploit the circumstances in order to satisfy their lust for power, or they can embrace a course of action and policies to rally the citizenry into collectively overcoming the crisis at hand, regardless of the fractures in that society. Well, folks, there is nothing there I disagree with. Because that's what I've been saying. And you know, on my show, Stay Mad Radio, last night I had on Tony Venuti. He's got a really cool blog talk radio show. And I talked to him on the phone before it was the day before the show. And he put it pretty succinctly, because I said, I threw out a concept to him. I said, you know, people complain about gridlock. They complain that, you know, nothing can get done because one side's always blocking the other. And you know, when you think about it, in these times, gridlock is good. It really is. Because when no deal, when there's absolutely no way any deal can be struck, it probably means that no deal should be struck. And that's what we have right now. We've got the Democrats blocking the Republicans because they don't agree with, you know, what the Republicans say. We have the Republicans blocking the Democrats because that's what they have to say. And what Tony said, it was just boiled all the crap off. And he said, you know, if they would just come out and say it and say what it is, it's the battle between communism and capitalism, except they won't admit that it's communism. And they've so ridiculed capitalism that now, you know, people on our side are almost afraid to say, almost afraid to stick up for capitalism. So, you know, we've got that is the fundamental battle. And you know what? the other side needs to be blocked, because we can't let any more communism creep into our society. It has already poisoned a lot. There are many different kinds of poison. There are different methods of injecting. Some of it works over a long period of time. Some of it works immediately. And some of it doesn't work until it has spread to a much larger area. Of course, then once it's spread, the poison cells will take over the healthy cells. And in this case, communism is starting to try and make its move, because they've got, whether the people know it or not, they've got 50% of the people that voted for communism in 2008. So, I'm just trying to noodle it out, you know. Why is communism poison? When there's so many people that support it. Okay, well, you think about it. Start with a question. What emotion or character traits does communism appeal to? I mean, off the top of my head, you got jealousy, you got envy, right? Gutter emotions. Morality comes into play with the triggers of communism, in the sense that, you know, in the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet. You know, there's your morality going against communism, because covet is the whole point. Well, no. All right, let me take that back. Let me start over. The whole point of it is control and tyranny. That is the whole point of it. It's to satisfy, you know, like one or two or very few people's egos, because they get to control resources, they get to control people, they get to control society. And it's really nothing much more than egos that that bring that. But then, how do you get it there? Well, you've got to use people. You've got to convince people to support you. And you have to convince them that everything's going to be equal, that there'll be no disparagement between the classes. There'll be, everybody will make the same, everybody will do the same, everybody will participate, everybody will contribute, everybody will consume the same. Side note, you know, what is that, an ant colony? What is that, a beehive? The Borg? Resistance is futile. Where is individualism? Where is any individuality? There isn't any. So, you know, when you break it down, when you take a look at it, it's these people that are being used to come together and create a mob. And of course, numbers of people, a mob, great numbers of people in one place where there's no individuality, it becomes almost like a separate entity, a life of its own. And the people who have incited this can control it to a degree. They can control it by making sure that everybody is on the same page before they get the people together. That's how I think it's done. That's my opinion. So in other words, they have been putting this together, this particular move that they're trying to make, you know, I'm talking about like the today's Wall Street thing, putting it together. They've been putting it together and moving chess pieces around, you know, so that they get everybody that's involved to indignantly believe that they're in the right. And that's, of course, one of the Alinsky rules, where you operate in the belief that all the angels are on one side and all the devils are on the other. And so that's their mindset for being down there. Now, the mob is used to move aside the existing cords of society that hold a society together. They're meant to break those and break those down. The mob is used as a weapon to proceed and get out the existing, you know, whatever existing government is there. And then, of course, it can be installed by the people who are, you know, the leaders of the mob, or people guiding the mob or directing it or steering it. They're, that's what they're doing. They're just kind of steering it, because you can't really control that many people. It's the mob thing. But they can, with different catchphrases and bumper sticker phrases, they can steer it. So that's how it gets there. So it appeals to gutter emotions, like I was saying, with as far as like envy, coveting, jealousy, and just pointing out the, you know, and it's really blatant, you know, the millionaires and billionaires need to pay more on taxes, you know. Well, you know what? You know, what has that got to do with you, and what is that going to get you? It's not going to get you anything. You're whining about millionaires and billionaires who worked for their money, most of them. I mean, most of them worked for their money. And they worked harder than you're working, you big dope. Let me play something for you. Let me just see the mindset of the occupiers who wants people to pay for his college. Check this out. This is just an example, a side note.
Your sign. Tell me about your sign.
My sign? It says, throw me a bone, pay my tuition.
Why?
Why? Because I think these billionaires are getting a lot of money just out of greed. You know, they're exploiting people, the underclass, like lower class people, middle class people.
How do they do that?
How do they do that? Just through, I guess it has to do with the government as well. For example, we get taxed more than they do.
That's not true.
It's not true.
Do you know the country with the highest corporate tax rate in the world?
Okay, but that doesn't mean
the United States. 35%.
That's in comparison to other countries, but I'm talking specifically.
But 35% is pretty high. And also, 1% of the population pays 40% of all the taxes.
Well, just reading like statistics from what I've seen, like for every dollar that we're taxed, corporations are taxed like 25 cents. And that just doesn't seem fair to me.
Where did you read that?
Online.
Okay. Let's just suppose that there was lots of money and there was no economic crisis there. Why should anyone pay for your college tuition?
Why?
Yeah.
It's just my opinion.
No, but I mean, give me the reason for it. Like, why should... I'd quite like a new car. Should that be paid for?
Your car?
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's whatever. People can say whatever they want.
So of course you can say what you want, but I'm asking why that in particular, like...
Just because it's what I want.
Yeah. But I mean, you can't just have everything you want paid for, surely.
No, but I can put it out there. I can say what I want.
Right.
So that's what I think.
Okay, that's fine. But I mean, like, from my perspective, what you've done is you've basically written stuff you want on a sign, like a Christmas list, and then you're holding it in the air.
Yeah, why not? Why not?
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
So, So hearing that, I mean, he wants people to throw me a bone, pay my tuition. Why should somebody pay your tuition? Well, it's because it's what I want. Well, right, but why do you want that? It's just my opinion. Why should somebody pay your tuition? Well, because the millionaires and billionaires, they have all this money, and what's that got to do with you? Well, they're exploiting workers. What is that? Even if they are, what does that have to do with you? Well, I figured I'd just put it out there. It's my opinion. People can say what they want. You should have seen the look on this guy's face. I think it's a... I don't know if I saw that at the Blaze. It might have been at the Blaze. Or I might have got it off of YouTube. But, you know, in any case, he realizes as he's saying it how silly it now seems. I mean, just simply the question of why should somebody pay your tuition? Why should somebody pay your tuition? Because the billionaires have so much money. Yeah. Why should they pay your tuition? Well, because they're exploiting people. Uh-huh. Why should somebody pay? Well, it's because it's what I want. I figure I'll put it out there. It's my opinion. Okay. All right. Whatever. So anyways, you know, that's something that I'm working on. I'm trying to get people to understand where this comes from. One of the big chess pieces that has been moved across the board. Speaking of chess, this is a great analogy. The thing that I'm about to talk about is like the pawn that you move all the way across the board and turn, and you get to turn it. When you reach the other side, you get to turn it into a queen. You know, you put your bishop, your rook upside down there, and then it can move like a queen. Well, the long march of this tactic is the pawn that has made it to the other side and is now a queen. I am referring to political correctness. Political correctness. It started out with one move. It's just a pawn. What harm can it be to say, you know, to call it a chairperson instead of a chairman? What harm can it be to show respect, you know, by calling them African Americans instead of black people, which is usually what they prefer to be called, black. They refer themselves as black people. Whatever else it is, you see what I mean? What's the harm in that? What's the harm in this? What's the harm what's the harm in not keeping score at kids' soccer games? What's the harm? Well, then the pawn moves again, you know, and then it moves again, and no one's noticing it because it's, you know, it's just creeping across the board, And of course, when it makes a move, you know, you look at it and you say, I could take that pawn out, but I'd rather go for this bishop. I can take the bishop out. The pawn remains untouched, unchallenged. Let's stop singing patriotic songs in schools. What? You move that pawn again? You move that pawn? But I got a shot at the queen. Or I got a shot at that knight. So then it gets let go. You know, they let it go. Political correctness was intentionally started after the fall of communists, after the fall of communism. There was a few elites that realized that they can't get global communism through revolution. What to do? They would gather occasionally and trade ideas on what to do. They started a school in Germany called the Frankfurt School. I'm researching this, so I'll give you a little bit about what I've dug up. I'll give you what I'm working on. They got together. I'll have names and dates and stuff, you know, on this, but when I'm done my research. But this is basically what happened. They got together, and they said, well, they started a school in Frankfurt, Germany. It's called the Frankfurt School, and they developed a philosophy called critical theory. And what that all that started out as is like in America where everything was moving along swimmingly. The society was strong, the family unit was strong, you know, all this and that. Everything was good. Well, let's just start criticizing it openly and publicly. We'll write articles that criticizes this, criticize that, criticize this, criticize that. Pretty soon, good will be bad, bad will be good, right will be wrong, wrong will be right. Look where we are. That little pawn has pretty much made it all the way to the other side of the board. And it has been turned upside down as a queen. And look at her go. I'll be right back.
These rules for radicals, they're not working.
You're talking Dr. Jones, doll.
And I'm going home now to my mama and get back into my mama's basement, and it'll all be good.
Don't be sad, Dr. Jones.
Must be drink, Dr. Jones.
So not only did our great wise Messiah inherit George Bush's mess, he inherited the whole world's mess.
Dr. C. Robert Jones brings you the Situation Report, Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern, bringing his life experiences and education to bring you political analysis and entertaining commentary on the Wahoo Media Network. Learn more at radio.waaumedia.com.
And we are back. I put up in the chat room that let's talk about the debate. I can do more on this communism stuff. Maybe I'll touch a little bit more. I'm going to be covering for Doc Jones tomorrow night. This is David Graham filling in for Doc Jones tonight. I appreciate people stopping by and listening in. Maybe you can any suggestions with that research with the little monologue I just gave. You know, I don't claim to know everything. I just relate what I find. But I got 2020 in the house. He watched the debate. If he calls in, we can ask him about it, because I don't get CNN and I have not really seen much footage of it. Looks like Tesla's feeling all right. Maybe he'll when he finishes his supper, he'll give us a call. But I didn't see it. The closest I came was the play-by-play on Twitter that some of my favorite radio personalities have to say at different at different points of the of the debate. Early on, here's what Monica Crowley had to say. And if you don't know who Monica Crowley is, she's on the radio and she's on Fox News sometimes. But anyway, she's a real smart. Here's what she says. She goes, "Here's what I love about Newt Gingrich. He compliments everyone on stage, serves to unify, and focuses them on hitting Obama and his policies." So that's good. I'd say that's a point for Newt. Another guy that used to be on a Boston station, I don't know where he is now, but I see him, I follow him on Twitter, Jay Severin. Bachman scores deeply, I believe, with, quote, "every citizen ought to pay taxes." Bachman hits Obama, too. Good turn. Now, G-Ski, if you're out there, I'll take calls. It's 347-884-8500. Let me just put that up in the chat room real quick. It's I forgot to give it out. 347-884-8500. That's the number. 347-884-8500. So give us a call. And because I don't know what I'm talking about, but Russi Humphreys, at some point, I don't know where these fit in, but it's near the beginning. He says, "I think Romney comes off as an ass." And then he goes on to say, "Did Romney and Perry have a meeting? Quote, let's get the black guy out, unquote. All of a sudden, Perry and Romney are BFFs." Well, that must have been early on because it seemed from the reports that I got that Romney and Perry were really going at it. Yeah, no problem, G-Ski. No problem, buddy. Eric Erickson, who actually took Herman Cain's radio show on WSB, he writes this: "Going to have an apple." Oh yeah, okay. I guess that means that's probably in relation to the apples and oranges thing that Herman Cain said. That just hit me. I didn't realize the context of that. But Jamie Dupree, also from WSB, a regular on Neil Bortz almost every day. Yeah, I think it is every day. Sometimes twice. Every other day he does twice a day, but so Romney to Santorum, quote, "Rick, you had your chance. Let me speak." As Romney, Santorum, and Perry talk over each other. And Jamie Dupree also says, "Gingrich joined Santorum in broadside on Romney healthcare plan. Says it's all big government." Yep. Romney and Gingrich in a sharp exchange on whether Newt backed the individual mandate. Newt backs down. Ooh. Eric Erickson. See, this is as close as I can get is watching the play-by-play on Twitter. I don't get the channel. I would have watched it, but suddenly this becomes the debate where they go after Mitt Romney. Eric Erickson. Jay Severin, Newt hammers Mitt on health substantively, but Mitt jujitsu'd the ass off Newt in answering. We got it from you. Point Romney. See, Jay Severin is a mitten. Jay Severin is an admitted mitten. He thinks Mitt is the cat's PJs. He thinks Mitt is the man to be president. He knows him. For all his time in Boston, he was a major radio personality. I think he got booted off his show. So he's now on it. He has another show on AM. But he he was good friends with Romney, and likes him, you know, famously. He thinks that he's awesome. Moving on, a little further down, the Talkmaster, and if anybody doesn't know, that is Herman Cain. Neil Bortz is the Talkmaster. But of Herman Cain, he says he still supports the fair tax, and 999 is an excellent transition. Jamie Dupree, furious start. Segment one had Herman Cain on the defensive on 999. Romney slammed on healthcare reform. And now here's this other guy twittering. G. Ski Rocks writes, "I think it's disgusting how the candidates are pitted against each other." And, oh, speaking of which, here he is now. G. Ski, how are you, my man?
I am doing fine. Living and loving life. How you doing?
Good. You didn't know I followed your Twitter feed, did you?
No, I didn't know, but...
On there with Jamie Dupree and the Talkmaster and Rusty Humphreys and Monica Crowley and all those other people. So,
wow, I feel privileged.
Yeah, you're right there. So you were right in line. And then a little later on, he writes, "You write, this debate sucks. I might just bail. This is stupid." All right, can you explain that one?
It was dumb. I understand it's a debate, and I understand that they're all fighting for the same nomination. But the problem is they're fundamentally tearing down each other, and they're not unifying against the one person that we need to be unifying against, which is Barack Obama.
Okay, now what do you think about – all right, give me just 1 second here. What do you think about what Monica Crowley opened up with regarding Newt Gingrich? Do you want me to read that one again?
Yeah, go ahead. Read that one again.
Here's what I love about Newt Gingrich. Excuse me. He compliments everyone on stage, serves to unify, and focuses them on hitting Obama and his policies. Do you agree with that?
I think she was right on point.
Okay.
Right. Technically, I would say for debate purposes, I think Newt came off as the better person. I think, in my opinion, I don't like Newt. But I think that Newt, I think he had a better debate than everybody else. Mm-hmm. You had this childish, you know, confrontation with Perry and Mitt Romney, and then everybody attacking Herman Cain. But it pissed me off because everybody up there, I think, except for Mitt Romney, I think everybody up there was for the fair tax. And the 999 plan was written based on the fair tax. If you go to Herman Cain's website and you look at it, he talks about the 999 plan. At the very end of it, it says phase two. Phase two, he wants to educate people about the fair tax because that's eventually what he wants to implement. The only reason why he didn't do it is because it failed in Congress twice. It failed in the House of Representatives, and it failed in the Senate. So he didn't want to go on a failed plan already. They didn't like it. Nancy Pelosi pitted everybody against each other and all this other stuff. So it didn't fare well in Congress.
Right. And the way to educate the most people the most effectively is from, you know, the president's, you know, the from the presidency. Let's bring, I think this is Tesler. Let's bring Tesler on. Is this you, Tesler?
You bet it is. And how can you have such a great support, such a great show, when you've got both G-Rocks and Tesler on at the same line?
I know. I am very privileged, and I appreciate you calling in. Helping me out because here's the thing, you guys each watched the debate. I didn't, so you know, I want to know, I want to know how it came out. Obviously, I mostly want to know how my man Herman Cain did. So,
well, okay, from my perspective, I liked the debate. It was a good food fight, as it's been described so far, but it didn't really accomplish anything. Republican standpoint. I don't think it did. However, I thought Cain did well. I thought he held his own. People will have to understand what 999 really means a lot, because I saw a lot of disingenuity, incorrect statements about what his plan is all about. And of course, the Republicans knew that those statements were not complete. So that's what he's going to have to work on in order to, from this point forward.
Yeah.
I think the folks who do this kind of stuff and watch the polls, they will be the ones who determine if this was a good debate or not. Now, as for what's his name there, the professor.
Romney or Newt?
No, Newt.
Okay. Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, Newt is and always will be a college professor. He'll never be president of the United States.
Okay.
And that's how I look at it so far.
All right. What do you think, G-Ski?
I think Tesla's on point. Like I said, Newt, he's a professor. He's great at debate. He always has been. So, I mean, I think he did really, really well, but he's not going to go anywhere as far as the presidency is concerned. He's got too much in his closet. He's got too many skeletons in his closet, so he's not going to go anywhere.
All right, so let me ask this. I'm sure I've heard this argument, so I'm guessing that it came up. With regards to the 999 plan, am I going to be explaining to my kids in 15 years how I voted for the 999 plan that is now the 2020 plan?
See, that's the only problem.
Right.
Because once you implement the plan, Congress now has control.
Because you can't compel a future Congress.
Right.
Okay.
So that's the problem that we're dealing with. But, I heard somebody on a talk show the other day talking about this. And, I mean, think about it. You implement this plan, the plan starts working, and now Congress gets together and they want to raise it. Do you really think that the people are going to allow them to do it? You're going to have mass rallies, unlike Occupy Wall Street. They're going to be completely different, the rallies and stuff that you've seen on the Tea Party side, you're going to have massive rallies like that opposing a raising of the taxes. But the potential is there. That's what the problem is.
All right. Tesla, go ahead.
You see, this is where I have a problem with all tax. Now, here's the issue as far as I can see it. Sure, could the 999 become a 92 or whatever in the future? Sure, it could be. But that's the nature of taxes. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing in the 999 plan that says taxes won't rise. I mean, think about it. He doesn't say anything about that. So while our taxes will always go up. The point of 999, and people don't seem to understand this, and that is what has to be explained. Is that it becomes a more fair tax when compared to the existing situation. When you look at what we've got now. So, folks are saying, and even in the debate last night, they were saying, "Well, won't state taxes go up?" No, Cain didn't say anything about that. Although they were trying to brush him with that issue. It's 999 is a starting point, and we will always have taxes. And unless you can find a way for Americans to get rid of taxes, which I don't think you will, there's always going to be some issue of some taxes somewhere that has to be addressed. And Cain's proposal is good as any, if not better.
Okay.
That's how I look at it.
Okay. Now, I had a coworker t- turn around and say, okay, Dave, can you explain this? By the way, this is Dave Graham from Stay Mad Radio. I'm filling in for Doc Jones. We have some new people in the house here. Evil Clown, Swing Easy, and we have a guest. So anyways, welcome. She says, okay, Dave, explain to me this 999. And I was like, okay, what do you mean? Well, is it going to become 2020? And I said, I can't speak.
Hey, you can't talk about me like that.
Yeah, 2020? all right, 19. How's that? But what I said to her was if he gets in office, okay, and the first thing he does at the beginning of his presidency is enacts this 999 plan, okay, what that is going to do immediately is give businesses, corporations, small businesses, big businesses, a stable number with which to project their business plan on. The stability is what the economy needs. Right now, it's willy-nilly all over the place because they're trying to incorporate, the Democrats are trying to incorporate fairness, okay? Forget that, okay? Fairness will take care of itself. Okay, everybody gets what they deserve. Okay, there's no, that's natural law. Okay, let's look at it from that point of view. I said, after 4 years of 999 working, and I don't think during his first 4 years he's going to sign a thing that's going to make it go up to 15. He's going to probably keep it 999. You're going to see the economy take off. And then when the economy takes off, you'll have a broader tax base. The revenue to the government is gonna skyrocket. You know, they'll be maybe even start paying down some of this stuff. You know, between that and cutting spending, maybe it would help get it under control. But it's the stability of knowing what it's going to be, what a business can count on as overhead. When they don't know what their overhead is going to be, they're not going to hire anybody. They're not going to take any risks. They're not going to start open any new stores. They're not going to start. They're not going to expand.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of people don't understand about this bill is that it drops the business tax rate to 9%. That's one of the things that's holding corporations up. We have the second highest tax rate in the world.
Right.
So you lower that, you free up some money for them guys to handle some business, hire some folks, and like you said, it creates stability. And with states, I believe you don't have a state tax in New Hampshire, do you?
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. State sales tax. So it with the lowering of the business corporate tax, the lowering of the individual tax, it balances out for states that don't have a national sales tax. It balances that out. So
that's something I hadn't thought of, so that's good to know. I can keep that in my pocket.
Right.
I just didn't think of it that way, but yeah, you're creating a new, you just installed a new sales tax in New Hampshire. Oh, yeah, I guess so, No, but the business tax is more than offsetting that sales tax.
Right, yeah, they're going to lower their goods. They're going to hire more people. Yeah, they're going to lower the price of their goods,
good,
hire
yeah.
more people, and everything. It's going to offset. So, yeah, I don't think people are going to get hit with massive new taxes. That's just not going to happen. That's not real.
Okay, now after 4 years of seeing how this works and seeing how people are going to have to hide under a rock in order to avoid finding a job, who is going to want to raise these taxes? The only thing they can do is at that point is try to turn up the class warfare, except they're going to expose themselves because all these people that were talking about the rich and they're not hiring, we can't get a job. Well, they're now going to have jobs. They're going to be, hopefully on an upward success track. Once they get it together, All they have is to foment some class war, and I don't think that has much credibility anymore.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It takes all of their power away. It takes away the power of these Occupy Wall Street boneheads, because that's another part of the plan that a lot of people aren't talking about. It's it's a national sales tax on goods that use it. So who's going to be paying the more tax? The rich are. But the rich buy more. They buy new. They don't buy used. They buy new. So they're going to be paying their fair share. And that's, you know, one of the complaints of these quote unquote 99ers,
yeah,
that they're not paying their fair share. It's fair for everybody, but they don't understand that. But on that note, I have to bail because
I know
have a show
I
coming up.
Yeah, no problem. I do appreciate your input. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Great show. You know me, I'm always going to tune in, but I want everybody to come on over to my show 9 o'clock right after this show.
Put your thing up. Put your link up in the chat room, and then we'll make it easier.
Will do, sir.
All right, GC
all right,
Rock.
All right, thanks everybody.
All right, take care.
G, we'll catch you later.
All righty.
All right. So on the line with us is Tesler, as G Ski drops off. Tesla, was there anything that you didn't like about the debate?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of things I don't like about these debates. And, of course, one of the big comments was this commentator from
CNN?
CNN. I mean, that is a total asshole. Yeah, it's just the way he handled the whole show. He was looking to instigate a food fight. Instead of trying to be a professional or someone who knows what the issues are all about. I mean, obviously, that's one of the things I didn't like about that debate. Another thing I did not like about that debate that was very clear is the way they handled some of the other people there. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't like Michelle Bachmann. I don't think she's been a good candidate since the get go, but I think they're just the way they handled her in that show as well. I wasn't crazy about, I can't think of the other guy's name. The last one there,
Santorum.
Yeah, Santorum. And he should drop out. That's the bottom line, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful to him, but he doesn't have it, and the people are not supporting him. Let's go ahead.
Who else did you say there was? Him and somebody should drop out, or just Santorum?
Yeah, Michelle Bachmann.
Okay. Now the last debate that they had in by the way, Swing Easy. That's G Ski's link that I just put up, so you can check out his show. But the last debate that they had, I think I'm pretty sure it was in New Hampshire. She laid out something. She laid out what was it she was talking about?
Remember?
No. It was the banks. It was the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and she did it in about three sentences, and the moderators looked like, what the heck is she even talking about? They don't even know what went on with Barney Frank and Chris Dodd and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. They don't even know what went on with that whole housing market. You know, they just oh, it was Bush's fault. That's the end of it. You know,
so
in three sentences, and then Newt backed her up on that, and they were like, we don't know. You know, we don't know what you're talking about. So,
see, that's where part of the problem in all of this lies. When you deal with these kinds of shows or debates, it's not necessarily who says the most intelligent thing that wins. It's oftentimes the person who says the least intelligent thing that can win. I mean, think about it. A lot of the debate went around Romney and the Texas governor
Perry.
But what? Really? What were they arguing about?
They were arm wrestling, from what I can see.
The what? I'm sorry.
It was just arm wrestling, from what I can tell. From
well, that's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's got nothing to do with substance.
That's
no.
got nothing to do with
the
me.
The only substantive issue that was debated that night was Herman's proposal.
The nine.
And then there were several people who didn't particularly like it, and that's fine. But at least there was a substance out of it. Yet, out of the entire show, all we were talking about, a good part of what we were talking about, were these two guys from Texas and Michigan.
Right.
Which really, substantively, was not a good debate. I mean, I didn't really learn anything except how not to support a 999. That's really the impact of that show.
So, do you not support? Is that what you took away from it? You don't like 999 now?
No, it's not what I take away. It's not what I took away from it.
Oh, you
it's
took away how people can hate 999.
Bingo. All right. Yep.
Yeah. So, but here's the thing about that, and I have this little note that I pulled out of my pocket, and it says 999 will not work as long as the point is to punish people, because that's the premise that we're working on now with the progressive income tax. It's meant to punish the evil rich, but the 999. You know, and it's like I played on my show, Herman Cain says, you know, when he was debating the roundtable thing, won't this be harder on poor people? No, it's going to be easier on everyone, and everyone will be contributing and paying. So as long as the point is to punish, you're not going to get much more about it. Anyway, Tesla, you know what? Jeez, I'm having so much fun, but we're going to have to leave it right there.
All right.
I appreciate you calling in. That was a really big help. And I appreciate everybody. Talk to you later, Tesla. Thank you for coming in. Swing easy, Republican Marine, Pendleton Marine, the guest, Evil Clown, Alexander Solo, Beach Bum. Thank you all very much. Let's take it out with Ray Charles.
Way up high, there's a land that I've heard of once in a love. Somewhere over the rainbow, skies of blue, and the dreams that you dare to dream really do come true. Someday I'll wish up on a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me. Where troubles melt like lemon drops, way up above the chimney tops, that's where you find me. I know somewhere over the rainbow, the bluebird. Fly over the rainbow. Why?